Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
What I want to share with you this morning is the importance of this subject, because I think oftentimes we misunderstand so much in Scripture. And a lot of times it's because we are taught certain things. Listen, no preacher is ever going to get it all right. That's why the Bible says that you must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in other words, when you recognize who God really is, you start to get a little bit of wisdom. Amen. So I want to start by saying this to you. In Acts 6, there's a situation that takes place where the church is growing and the apostles begin to get overwhelmed with the amount of perhaps counseling and feeding the poor and doing all the different things they were doing. So the Bible says that they appointed different leaders to basically take over a lot of those functions so that they could give themselves to prayer and to the word. And this is important for me to point out to you this morning, because this is still Acts 6, which is fairly early in the early church if you consider the book of Acts as a whole, describing the life of the apostles. So if this is the case, Acts 6, they give themselves to prayer and they give themselves to the word. What word? The Old Testament. The Torah. Therefore, if the apostles were gleaning from the Old Testament, if they were gleaning from the Torah, the Tanakh, for lack of a better word, the Tanakh includes all the books of the Old Testament, the writings of the prophets, how many of you think it might be still important today? Amen. The Bible says that our God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that the things that were harmful to you and that he told the children of Israel, these things will harm you, we should pay attention, because those same things cause damage to our lives today. What was offensive to God before is still offensive today. The difference is that the consequences have been paid for, which means that if you know who you are in Christ, you can take what has already been done for you on the cross and apply it to your life. Begin to change your mind and begin to obey what God says, and the curse is broken. Amen. But that doesn't mean I have nothing to do with the light flickering. Stop it. I could tell you a whole story about how Satan has sat in the church once and made all the lights go off. And then they ran to the front with knives. True story. And the preacher went, I bind you, and they all fell down. Amen. But we'll leave that for another day. Is that okay? I'm excited. Let's talk about that stuff this morning. All right. No, let's get into our subject, because it's important that we get this closed off this morning. It's very clear through Scripture that when we get saved, it's because of the cross that you and I have this ability to be under the blessing of God. Nothing can replace what has been done on that cross, because it's all done. Can you say amen? But it's very important that we do understand that throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, there are still consequences for disobedience. If the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1, let's read it together. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord, your God, to observe carefully His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these things shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. When we give our lives to Jesus, not only do we say that, Lord, we believe in you, but we also say that we make you Lord of our lives. In other words, we make you in charge. We serve you. We follow you. We submit to you. These are words that in today's culture are kind of looked down upon. But the truth is that any son who is a good son, that has a good father, will submit to his father, right? Because by doing that, a true father will love you and always want the best for you. How many of you know that God is the greatest father of all? and that He only wants to bless you. That's His desire. That's why He says, I think good thoughts towards you, to give you a future and a hope, to bless you. That's what He wants to do. That's His desire. That doesn't mean He's always happy with what you do. That doesn't mean there's not consequences for what you do, but His thoughts, His plans never change. He always has a good plan for you. He always wants to see you come out on the other side. Amen? Now, Jesus also went on to say the same thing, Luke 11:28. This is now New Testament, because some people believe that, you know, we don't need to obey for the blessing anymore because it's all paid for on the cross. And yes, it is. But that doesn't mean that we should not be obedient to God's voice. Luke 11:28. But He said, more than that, blessed, everybody say blessed. Okay, what are we blessed if we do what? Are those who hear the word of God and keep it. If you hear the word of God and keep it. What is keep it? Keep it basically means obey it. If you obey God's word, if you keep His word, you will be blessed. Now, let me give you one more scripture, James 4:7. You want to bring it into the realm of dealing with the enemy, because the enemy is the one who doesn't like you because you're a blood-washed Christian and you have authority and power over him, so he doesn't like you and he will do everything in his power to cause you to come under the curse. But the Bible says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So a lot of the desires and passions of this world will be brought to you by the enemy, because his desire is to kill, steal, and destroy you. But the Bible says if we submit to God, that the enemy, the curse, whatever he desires to bring against you, will flee from you. Well, what does the word submit mean in the Greek? It's the word hypostaso. And basically what that means is to obey. What does that mean? If we obey God, if we submit to God, if we follow God, if we hear what He says, we will be blessed. What the enemy desires to bring against you, what the enemy desires to use against you, will be destroyed, will be made to flee. Can you say amen? That's great news. And because of the cross, this is all available to us. Unfortunately, the results of disobedience can have the opposite effect on our lives. They will bring consequences, or can bring consequences. Don't forget what has already been done for you. All you have to do is submit to God. Submit to God. If you make a mistake, if you do something wrong, submit to Him, turn from it, and the enemy goes. But when we do fall into things that we shouldn't, there is a possibility that there will be some consequences. There is a possibility that things that God said before would be a curse on your life can still affect you today in some way. And we need to take a look at that this morning. Over the last few weeks, I've laid a really solid foundation, hoping that you would be able to understand where I'm coming from with all of this. What I want to make very clear is, even with the lists and the things we're going to discuss this morning, not every bad thing that happens to you is a curse. Sometimes sickness is nothing more than just a cold or whatever. Sometimes certain situations will come. You might get into a season in your life where you have no money. That doesn't mean that now you're cursed. But when a lot of these things that I'm sharing with you this morning begin to affect your life, sort of more habitually, over and over and over, or through generations, you must recognize that there is a possibility that a curse is working in your life. The Bible says a curse without a cause cannot alight. So what do we need to do? If we do see circumstances of things that could look like it could possibly be a curse, what we do is we take what has already been done for us on the cross, we apply it to the curse, we command it to go, and we say to it, you are not legal here, get out of my life. We'll go more into that this morning as we go along. Deuteronomy 28 is one of the most powerful parts of Scripture that explain to us blessings and curses. Go read it. You will be shocked. There's a lot there. Some things to look for when we see the blessing on somebody's life is health, prosperity, success, strength. Being successful in their life, reproductivity or productivity is a sign of success. Some people, it just seems whatever they touch, like God just blesses it. And that's exactly many times what's going on, is it's just really the blessing of God. Now, a curse can be the opposite. A curse is someone who's constantly defeated, hopelessness, someone who fails all the time. Now again, please, you may be one of these things, and I'm not saying that now because of that you're under a curse, but if a lot of this stuff is happening to you, you may need to pay attention. Is that okay, guys? Accident prone. Some people just seem to have calamity, one accident after another, one situation after another. Mental or emotional breakdowns, but more consistently happening over and over, and even through the bloodline. Repeatedness of chronic sickness that they get sick, then they get sick again, and then they get sick again. Sometimes that might be the effects of a curse. Not always, but sometimes. Barrenness could also be the effects of a curse. You see throughout Scripture how barrenness could be the effects of a curse. Again, it's not always the case, but it could be. Breakdown of the marriage. Continuing in financial insufficiency. A history of suicide and unnatural or untimely deaths. Mental or emotional breakdowns. These are signs of a curse possibly operating in your life, especially if that list describes you and you have lots of them going on in your life. That means that something might need to be addressed. And that's what we're going to do this morning. It's important for you. My people perish because of a lack of knowledge. They don't know the word. Some of us go, I don't even want to look in the Old Testament. I don't want to know what the Old Testament has to say. Well, Peter, Paul, James, John, all of them, guess where they got all the information? The Old Testament. The Bible says that we are not under the law if we are led by the Spirit. So that's true. We're not under the law. But guess what? The only way that we knew that adultery was wrong was because of the law. So the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the things that are an offense to God that can cause you damage. The question is, are you listening? Amen. So the point here this morning is not to put you under the law, but to make you aware of things that offend God that caused great consequences. And I'm going to show it to you this morning. Then you will look at your own life. We'll examine our own lives. And in that moment, we can pray, deal with it, and break the power of the enemy that has any right to us in any way whatsoever. How many of you here say, I want the blessing? Amen. We all want the blessing of God. All right. What you will notice many times that a curse is usually done through words. Through words. Is the words are primarily the cause for many curses. Obviously, behavior, things we do can bring a curse or bring consequences on us. But oftentimes, our mouth gets us in trouble. How many of you know life and death is in the power of the tongue? So many times a curse is spoken. Listen, suicide, speaking death over your life. You know, desiring to kill yourself, speaking death, suicide over your life. You are inviting the spirit of death. You are inviting him to come into your life. And I want to tell you this morning that there is a way to defeat that. If you have done it, if you have spoken a curse over your own life, you can break that this morning. So that it doesn't matter if you said it before this morning, you're going to say something else. What are you going to say? You're going to say what God says. So what does God say? Let me read it to you. Psalm 118 verse 17. Psalm 118 verse 17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Why is this so powerful? It's so powerful because so many of us get to a point where we really feel like, why am I still alive? Well, there's your reason. Because I can still declare the works of the Lord. What you need to understand is you will only find true peace and joy and happiness, whatever you want to call it, when you walk in the will of God for your life. If nothing else, your tragedy can become your greatest testimony. Your suffering can become the very thing that you can minister and speak to so many people's lives if you just embrace what God says. But this morning, I want you to declare that over your life, that I shall not die, but I shall live. Can you say amen? And declare the works of the Lord. That's how we combat anything that the enemy desires to bring against us. The truth is that it's not only words that can bring a curse. Sometimes there can be objects that can also bring a curse. Now, many people think this is ridiculous. This is like not, doesn't make any sense. Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Is that okay? How many of you believe that's the final authority? All right. You shall, okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 7:25. Deuteronomy 7:25. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house. Let's read that again. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house. What's the consequences of bringing an abomination into your house? Lest you be doomed. Lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it. For it is an accursed thing. When you bring an accursed thing into your house, you are giving that thing legal ground to operate in your family, in your house. Listen, if you take a demon spirit, if you could see a demon spirit and you could take him into your house, how did he get there? You brought him in. Therefore, little Buddhas, statues, dragons, all the stuff that is false gods, false images, get it out of your house. Get it out of the house. We don't need it. I don't need Buddha. I don't need Krishna. I don't need no false god. I don't need nothing. There's a picture of Jesus in my house. On the front door of my house, it says that the Lord is a wall of fire around my home. Video games, books, music, anything that is accursed, get it out of your house. Oh, but you know, Pastor Alex, my son just likes to play those video games. That's great. Make sure they're good games. That it's not warlocks and wizards and witches and cursed things and Pokemons. Pokemons are little creatures. Go study it. I have literally been involved with people that have taken Pokemon cards, burnt them, and hear voices screaming out of them when they burn. If it's accursed, get rid of it. Get it out of your house. Doesn't need to be a part of you. Well, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm washed in the blood, but all of a sudden everything's going wrong. Check your house. Check your life. Get stuff out. The Bible says, examine yourself. Not only once. You'll see when we take communion today that he says, every time you take communion, examine yourself. Because the enemy's like he's sneaky, he's a serpent, he's cunning, he always comes to try and deceive you, to try and get some way to have some right to you. But because of the blood of Jesus, he cannot. But if there's any door open, guess what we're going to do? We're going to shut it. Is that okay? All right. Now, there is no way I could possibly give you all the things that offend God, but I'm going to do my best to give you as many as I can. But there's a few categories that I feel are very important that I can even show you historically have been the truth as a result of what God says will be blessed and what will be cursed. Let's start with anti-Semitism. Let's start with anti-Semitism. Genesis 12, verse number 1. Genesis 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How is it that the families of the earth, the Gentiles, you and I, how is it that we are blessed? Why is it? It's because of the seed of Abraham. Guess who came from the seed of Abraham? Jesus the Christ. But the same way that the blessing came from there, guess what? If you're going to curse them, you're going to come under a curse. We cannot, as Christians, be anti-Semitic. How is it possible? You're blessing the place where you're cursing the place where the blessing came from. And there are consequences. Go study history. And take a look at every nation that came against Israel. Go and have a look. It's very clear throughout history. Amen. All right, let's move on. The good news for you is this. That if you study Galatians 3:26, we're not going to read it. Galatians 3:26 to 29, It says this, I'm just going to read this. And if you are Christ, this is verse 29, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In other words, when you get saved, you also become the seed of Abraham. What does that mean? No one can curse you. No one can curse you. I'm going to say that again. That's such good news. That's such good news. No one can curse you. No curse can alight against you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, because of what He has done for you, they cannot curse you. And they that curse you will be cursed. The only way a curse can work is if you open the door. A curse without a cause cannot alight. I've taught on this over the last few weeks. Go listen to the tapes and you'll be able to hear it. Amen. But we must move on. Now, this is important, guys. Unscriptural covenants. People don't understand why I don't just want to go into ministry with anybody, or why I don't want to join myself to someone and do an agreement with them. I don't do it because of this, what I'm about to share with you right now. Watch this. Exodus 23, verse 32. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. In other words, if you're going to join with them, if you're going to go into covenant with them, guess what? The same thing that's on them will come on you. That's why many businessmen, when they go into business or partnership with people that are serving false religions or involved in false stuff, oftentimes the consequences end up being detrimental. There's a break in the relationship. They lose everything. They lose what God wanted to bless them with. Why? Because they went into covenant with something that is outside of covenant with God. Be very careful of this. That's why I do not get involved with any ministry unless I know who the founder is, what happened there, who started it, what are they doing right now. Everybody thinks I'm crazy, but I check this stuff. It's important to me. I will not just support a ministry unless I know who they are. Amen. I want to know their foundation. I want to know what they believe. I want to know who they're serving. I want to know. Go into covenant with someone that's blessed and watch what happens. The blessing will come on you. What is a covenant? Many people think I'm taking this too far. Well, the word covenant in the Hebrew means contract or agreement. The word in the Greek, which is diatheke, basically means contract, will, disposition, or treaty. Again, it's really just an agreement. It's a powerful formal agreement. That's what a covenant is. If you make a covenant with evil, with people who are supporting anything evil, you can come under that curse as well. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to give you a list of curses that came or that could come on the children of Israel out of Deuteronomy 27. And there's really three categories that I want us to focus on to get the crux of what the Lord is saying. Because that's what we need to get out of it. Remember, we're not under the law, but yet we need to have a look at what was an offense to God so that we can apply it to our own lives today and not offend Him. He's either for you or against you, church. All right. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Deuteronomy 27, verse number 14. And the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Listen. God is a jealous God. We're going to go to Exodus 20, verse number 1, but I want you to understand that you cannot worship any other God. You cannot make an idol of anything else. If you really study it in the Hebrew, it actually goes further than place any God above God. No one can come close to God. You cannot worship God and Mammon. You can only worship God. So when you set up a false idol or you begin to do anything that is against Him, you are asking for trouble. Listen, God is a spirit. That means the realm in which He operates is the realm of the spirit. When you go to a fortune teller, when you go for tarot card reading, you are basically opening your spirit up to the dark side, which is creating a false idol. You are going and you are saying that I believe in what the enemy wants to say about me, because the truth is, church, listen to me nicely this morning. There is only two realms. The realm of God, which is the realm of light. Any other light is darkness. There is no other realm. Amen. Now, let's quickly read Exodus. I can take my time. We've got time, right? Exodus 20, verse number 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Can you all say amen? How many of you are no longer in Egypt? Praise the Lord. And you shall have no other gods before me. It should actually say beside me. He's the only God. That's what it really means in the original language. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Watch this. Visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Occultic practice or worship or going to the dark side for any of that stuff can affect your bloodline to the third and fourth generation. The good news is that Jesus came to break the power of the curse. Which means that what would be held against you, if you take what Jesus has done for you, you have the ability to break that. It's great news, amen? But it would be like this. Let's say you recognize it, you receive it, and tomorrow you go back to the fortune teller. What do you think is going to happen? Okay. You open the door again. Does it make sense, guys? It needs to be dealt with. Where can I get that scripturally? Okay. Peter denies Jesus three times. He denies him three times. When Jesus is with Peter on the beach before he goes up, he says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes. Again, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. A third time, Peter, do you love me? Why? Because he restored him. So the restoration is important. Does it make sense? Therefore, if there is something, well, Pastor Alex, what if I don't know about something that my grandfather did? Listen, be led by the Holy Spirit. If he doesn't bring anything to you, don't worry about it. He will bring to remembrance, he will bring into your mind what needs to be dealt with. If nothing comes to mind, you're going to be okay. Believe me, the Holy Spirit is very much alive. And he can very much bring to what your mind what is necessary. If there's a curse, if there's fortune telling, if there's witchcraft, if there's Freemasonry, any kind of false religion, if there's any of that in your family, you need to break it. Amen. Anything that causes you to go into the realm of the supernatural or causes you any form of false worship is an offense to God. Category number one. Now, let's go back to Deuteronomy 27 and let's go to verse number 16. Verse number 16. This is going to be a tough one, but it's important. Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt, and all the people shall say amen. The attitude towards your parents will affect your life. If this were not true, it wouldn't repeat itself over and over and over in Scripture. Proverbs 30:17 says, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Ephesians 6:1-3 says, children, New Testament, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. If the blessing comes from obeying your parents and honoring them, guess what happens when you do the opposite? Now, that doesn't mean that if your parents are trying to do evil or anything like that, that you need to agree with them. That doesn't mean that you need to, you know, you need to honor what they said or what they did if they did something evil. But guess what? You have to forgive. You have to forgive them. And I know many of you here have all the right in the world to absolutely despise your parents. But if you want it to be well with you, let it go. Forgive them. If you have an opportunity, there are people sitting here right now, you still have an opportunity to make it right with your parents. Go and do it. Go and make it right. Listen, if there's one thing I want, there's two things I want. I want the spiritual blessing from my spiritual father, but I also want the blessing from my own father. I say, let them take their hand and lay it on my head and let them bless me. Go look throughout scripture how the fathers would bless the sons, and when they spoke that blessing over their sons, it would happen. It's scriptural. It's scriptural. If you have resentment and there's an opportunity at restoration and you don't take it, it can cause damage for you guys. The one who will suffer in the end is you. I don't like doing this kind of thing. This is not the teaching I enjoy. I love teaching about the power of God and the love of God, but it's so important because I'm the one who said to God, Lord, we want to see Vero Beach change. So guess what he did? He said, you go and teach them about this stuff. Because you see, here's the key. God is after your heart, but you will never release your heart to him fully if you are bound. We need to surrender to him. Otherwise, the power of all this stuff can affect our lives, even though we're still going to heaven. You can walk this life saved, but still so bound up. When the Bible says that he wants to renew your mind, he wants to strengthen you, refresh you, make you whole, spirit, soul, and body. And it's a journey because you're gonna have to go through it your whole life. I taught on it last week. I can't go back into it today. Let's move on because there's more. Are you guys okay? All right. Now, this category next is also very important because it really relates to people. I cannot read them all. Let's go to verse 17. Watch this now. Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. Verse 18, cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. Verse 19, cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to the stranger and the fatherless and the widow. Verse number 24, cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. Verse number 25, cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. What is the moral of the story of all of this? Love your neighbor as yourself. Do not go after your neighbor. Do not go after someone in business. Do not go after someone to harm them at your own benefit. There will be consequences. Are you with me, guys? The first two commandments, Jesus knew exactly what he was saying. Are you surprised? When he said that when they asked him, what's the most important commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Then all the false worship, all the false stuff, going to all the dark side will never happen. Because your desire will be him. And then all the curses I just read to you now will not affect you because you will love your neighbor as yourself. So you will care about people. Listen, people are beautiful. There's a treasure in every one of us. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. When I look out on this auditorium, I see so many people with so many backgrounds in so many different places. But God knows you by name. Every hair on your head, he wants you to walk in total victory. It's already all done. It's done. Just take it and apply it. It's like the children of Israel. They crossed the Jordan to go into the promised land. God says to them, the land that I'm going to give you, from then on out, he talks about it as the land which I've given them, but yet they still had to conquer. It's the same in your walk with him. Is that okay, guys? All right, let's move on. So we see when we are an offense to God by worshiping false religions, false idols, all that stuff, it can bring a curse. It can bring trouble. That goes for any false religion, and that includes Freemasonry. All right. Now, the next topic that I must bring up is from verse 20. From verse 20 down to 23. And then I'm going to read out of Leviticus to really summarize it. But let's just go. I'm going to read real quick. Verse 20. Cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife. This is all sexual stuff. Cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife. Verse 21. Cursed is the one who lies with any kind of animal. Verse 22. Cursed is the one who lies with his sister and the daughter of his father. Verse 23. Cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law. Let's jump to Leviticus 20, verse number 10. You need to know this. Because what we need to understand is when it comes to this sort of sin, what it does is it's not one sin. We like to isolate and say, well, you know, the homosexuals. No. There's a whole lot of stuff here we need to look at. Is that okay? Let's look at this now. Are you okay, guys? Okay. Leviticus 20, verse number 10. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. The man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed perversion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man marries a woman and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burned with fire, both he and that there may be no wickedness among you. If a man mates with an animal, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall kill the animal. If a woman approaches any animal and mates with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. Why? Why should they be put to death? Because this curse must stop. Now, we are not under the curse. What does that mean? Because of what Jesus did, you can be forgiven. You can receive grace. You can receive mercy. But just like with what we spoke about early on, if you continue to go to the fortune teller, if you continue to practice this type of thing, you will still be in trouble. It must be broken. There is a process that I taught you about. That doesn't mean that if you make one mistake, we're going to kill you. No. That defies everything that Jesus has done on the cross. Therefore, do not judge, but rather love them. Anyone who has done these things, but I want you to understand that there are consequences for these things, and I need to say this. Pornography of any of that kind is just as harmful, guys. God was so serious about cutting those things off immediately, killing the animals, killing the people that did it, because he didn't want that curse to affect generation after generation after generation. If you're aware of this in your bloodline, guess what? Today we break it. Today we break it. If your father struggled with it, today we break it. No more! Can you say amen? One is not worse than the other. You need to know that. They are all an offense to God and can cause consequences to come upon us. Jeremiah 17, 5-7. Are you guys okay? I'll try and finish as quick as I can. But this is important. Can you say this is important? Can you? Amen. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Cursed is the man who does not rely on God. Amen. You need to recognize, guys, every blessing you have, even if God wasn't in your life at the time, I can tell you now it comes from him. The goodness of God. His mercy, his love for you. He is so good. Can you say amen? Amen? All right, other sources of a curse. A person who has authority can curse. A father can curse his family. Dads, be careful what you say. Moms, be careful what you say. When you speak against your children, when you speak against your husband, when you speak against your wife, let me ask you, are you speaking life? Are you speaking the blessing, or are you cursing your household? Understand that your words have power, life and death, blessing and cursing. Teachers, be careful what you say over kids in your classrooms. We need to be careful what we say with our mouths, because they definitely carry weight in the spirit. Persons in the occult also have some authority. Listen, the Bible says that I will give you power over all the power of the enemy. But guess what? The enemy does have power. But thank God, their power is broken if you're under the blessing of God. Amen? If you're a Christian, if you're walking with the Lord, they can say what they like. It will fall to the ground. Can you say amen? Amen? All right. But if someone in that realm is speaking against someone who's not walking with the Lord, it can have an effect. Is that okay, guys? Self-imposed curses. You can speak a curse over your own life. Matthew 27, verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail, and this is while he's standing with Jesus, presenting Jesus to the people, the children of Israel. He's standing there and he's showing them Jesus. And he says this. It says, when he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. This is the Jewish nation. They spoke a curse over themselves. Okay, you can see it, right? You see how powerful words are. Now, the good news, how do we break a curse? Or how do we break any consequences in our lives? Well, first of all, you need to know that it's all been done already. It's all been done already. Isaiah 53, verse number 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, the good news is when Peter quotes out of the book of Isaiah, this same scripture, he gets to the point where he says, and by his stripes we are healed. And he doesn't say we are healed. He says we were healed. And it doesn't matter what any scholar tries to do. It is past tense. In other words, Peter was saying this, that everything necessary to give you healing and deliverance and salvation and for the curse to be broken has already been done on the cross. So all we have to do is take the word, declare the word, and it will begin to have power in your life. Begin to believe what Jesus has said. Can you say amen? I taught you guys last week the power of sozo, the power of healing, the power of salvation, saved, healed, delivered. This is what was done on the cross. It's extremely powerful. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This must begin to increase your faith and give you the understanding that you can destroy whatever right the enemy has had in your life because of what has already been done on the cross. Colossians 1, verse number 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Can you say amen? And conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, of His love, of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins. This is amazing news. And I love this one. Luke 10, 19. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power That means all the power. That means all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. You have been given authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. You have power over every curse. You have power over everything that the enemy desires to bring against you. This morning in this place, this is good news. The Bible says in Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. When it comes to dealing with situations that we might be aware of that are in our lives, whether it be one of those sexual things, whether it be an offense to God because of false idols or Ouija boards or whatever it is we've done, whether it be something against our neighbor or any of the other stuff I've spoken about, all we have to do is we have to go to God. Confess, first of all, who He is over your life. Make a decision to commit to obeying what He says. What does that look like? Be led by the Spirit. Guys, the Holy Spirit is your best friend. God made the most awesome way for us by sending His Spirit to actually dwell on the inside of us. That still small voice that tells you, don't do this, don't go there, don't say that. When you do something you shouldn't do, He'll say to you, hey, you shouldn't have done that, so you can repent. Listen to His voice. Can you say amen? Amen. Confess your sins. Confess your sins to Him. If there's something, if there's a situation that happened, if an ancestor, your cousin, your father, whatever it is in your life that you think could somehow have some effect on your life, confess it to Him. Renounce it, and it'll be broken. Forgive anyone who has sinned against you. Forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a decision. It's sometimes a very difficult decision, but it will set you free. Can you say amen? Once we're done this morning with this, if there's anything in your home that doesn't belong there, that you think could be an offense to God, get it out of your house. Don't give the enemy any right to your home, because your home is blessed. Your home is a house of peace. Now, we're going to take communion together this morning. If I could ask the ushers if they could please begin to get the communion elements together. I want to show you this morning that everything I've taught you, the power of breaking all of that is in communion. Because of what has already been done for you. And this morning, if you will do what I shared with you, no curse, no consequence, nothing the enemy would desire to do against you will be able to stand. My desire as your pastor this morning is for you to walk in total freedom and for you to walk in total joy and in total victory. Can you say amen? I'm going to read to you as they're handing this out. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same manner, He took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. In other words, it's working in you. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now watch, and this is where we're going to talk about this for just a minute. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. Now what happens if we don't do that? For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That actually is death. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. The truth is that Jesus has done it all. Every curse is broken. It's broken. Everything that has happened in your family's life, in your life, if you say to the Lord this morning, when you examine your own life, Lord, you know, there's stuff that happened that my grandfather did. If you're aware of it, break it. If something comes into your mind this morning when we examine our own hearts, deal with it. Confess it. Renounce it. If you've done something with witchcraft, if you've done anything like that, renounce it this morning. If you've sinned against a brother where you've harmed him, where you've done those things that I read to you, or anything else that you could be aware of this morning, ask God to forgive you. Give it to him so that there's no right that the enemy has in your life. And in this moment, we do this, and that's when we remember what Jesus has done. And because of the sacrifice that was made for us, the power of anything the enemy could have in you is broken.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.